This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, it's Friday. Welcome to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council and typically the host of this very program. I'm the producer and a 30-year media veteran. Well, today, the Department of Justice issued guidance directing federal agencies to respect religious freedom. And the Department of Health and Human Services rolled back the Obamacare policy that mandated employers to provide insurance coverage for contraception. We'll talk with Tony Perkins himself in just a few moments. And President Trump has threatened to withdraw from Iran's nuclear deal. It appears that decision could come next week. We'll talk with Clifford May of the Foundation of Defense Democracies about that news. And 1 week from today, this very day, the 12th Annual Values Voters Summit at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. gets underway. It's the premier conservative gathering in the country. And folks, if you haven't signed up, you've still got time. The event features major newsmakers and members of Congress and maybe even a surprise guest or two. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, former deputy assistant to President Trump and now a chief strategist for Make America Great Again Coalition. He's one of those speakers, and he'll be here to discuss life after the White House. And Hollywood elites just can't help themselves. Many have entered into the gun control debate again, and since the Las Vegas rampage, you've seen him on TV, and now you'll hear from him on Washington Watch. He's one of the good guys in Hollywood. Chuck Woolery, former game show host and now conservative commentator. He's a believer. So just an all-around really good guy and host of Blunt Force Truth. And, of course, we'll take your calls. Well, Family Research Council applauded two major actions today by the Trump administration that safeguarded religious freedom. The Department of Justice is directing federal agencies to respect religious freedom, while the Department of Health and Human Services is exempting religious entities from the oppressive Obama contraceptive mandate. With us now is Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council and regular host of Washington Watch. Tony, welcome to your very own program.
Well, thanks, Russ, and thanks for sitting in for me. It's Fridays are always my travel day, so that's usually why I'm not hosting, so I appreciate you filling in. But this is a big day, a very big day, and I wanted to come on for just a few moments and underscore that with our listeners because, Russ, they've been a big part of this as we've asked them to weigh in with the White House and others. And this goes back to the campaign, and I will underscore that. As our team worked on the GOP platform, bringing this issue to the forefront of religious freedom and the what's called the HHS mandate, the contraceptive mandate that was pushed on Americans by Barack Obama, you know, we were successful in driving this last presidential election into a policy-driven election as opposed to personality-driven. And exit polling showed 59% of Trump-Pence voters selected them based upon the Republican Party's platform on life and religious freedom. And that is now coming to fruition. What we saw today began back in the election, but on May 4th, some will remember this, the president issuing an executive order. I was there in the Rose Garden when he did it, ordering the Department of Justice to come up with guidelines that would protect and promote religious freedom. And so I've been working on that now for months. It comes out today, and there's still more to do because now the agencies have to adopt specific policies for various activities. But this is a huge day for religious freedom in America.
Well, Tony, as you very well know, it's been 8 years. 8 years of the federal government's relentless assault on the First Amendment, and the Trump administration has now taken, as you said, concrete steps today that will once again erect a protection around America's first freedom. And you've talked about this issue over and over and over again, and it really did provide a lot of heartburn for folks, didn't it?
Well, it did. I mean, for the last 8 years, we've been watching and experiencing attack after attack on the freedom to believe. I mean, this is our first freedom. And this is a recognition today by Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the essentially 20 principles of religious freedom that were put out by the Department of Justice, that religious freedom is not something that is granted by government, but rather this is a human right that is granted by God to be protected by government. And so this is a really, you know, I know liberals are going crazy, which tells you it's significant. But what it does is just, it's restoring an understanding of religious freedom that we've had for most of the 240 years this country has been in existence under our Constitution. And that is a recognition that this first freedom, the freedom to believe and live according to your beliefs, is to be accommodated by government. It's not something like we saw in the last 8 years where religious freedom was to be quarantined within the four walls of the church and never to enter the marketplace or this educational space. This will give clear direction to all federal agencies that federal employees, federal contractors, and citizens who engage with the government cannot be discriminated against based upon their religious beliefs and actions.
And it's my understanding that the exemption will include all entities that are already exempt from the birth control mandate, but will also entail any nonprofit groups that have a religious or moral objection to contraceptive coverage, right?
Yeah, in the direction coming out from the Department of Health and Human Services addressing the Obama contraceptive mandate, it's in keeping with, you know, the Supreme Court decision in the Hobby Lobby case, but it extends that, as you said, to nonprofit organizations. So, for instance, the Little Sisters of the Poor, a collection of nuns who serve the poor, will not be forced to provide contraception in their health care plans. Now, I mean, that on its face is nonsensical, but that was the Obama administration. And so this new policy, and really it's not really new, it's a restatement, as I said, of what has been in place for most of the 240 years this country's been in existence. But it is a sharp contrast with the previous administration that was really trampling religious freedom in this country and even using the terminology, the freedom of worship, as if the only thing we had the freedom to do was to choose what, if any, church we would attend on a Sunday, and our preference for, you know, worshiping a higher being. That's not what the founders understood. They understood that we had a human right as Americans to live according to our beliefs, and this is a restatement of that today, and it's a welcome change, so that we no longer have to live in fear or in being intimidated by our own government.
You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council. Now, Tony, let me ask you, you know, the left is unhinged about this already. They're demonizing the reversal of this, and the left is saying that the government providing birth control helps to ward off unwanted pregnancies, but women have some role, and men too, in providing their own birth control?
Well, let's be very clear about that. The issue here was not all forms of birth control. Now, that is an issue that some religious beliefs do not believe that there should be any birth control.
Right.
But what was at issue in the Hobby Lobby case were birth control pills and other devices that could actually act as abortifacients. And so that was the issue. And so this is respecting the deeply held orthodox religious beliefs of people. And look, if it was really about contraception, if that's what this was really about, the government has other ways and means to go about that. I mean, plus, quite frankly, contraception is very, very inexpensive, and there's other ways the government could provide that. So this is not about access. It's not about cost. This is about trampling religious freedom. And you know, and even some Christians, Russ, would say, oh, aren't you making too big of a deal out of this? No, because of the fundamental principle of religious freedom, that we have a right not to be forced by our government to violate our conscience and our deeply held religious beliefs. And that's what the Obama administration, I believe, set out specifically to do, because once you breach that protection around the freedom of religion and the church and Christians are accepting of it, there is no end to where that might lead.
Well, and Tony, it's been quite a day. This is a big issue with the HHS, but the Justice Department has also issued legal guidance across the federal government today that will shape how the Trump administration interprets religious liberties and protections, interpretations expected to come into play in a number of ongoing lawsuits. Give us an update on that.
Well, there, like, as you said, it's a big day in that this statement of a principle of religious freedom and how that applies in the workplace is, it's big. I mean, it is big, but I want to underscore that this is simply a restatement of what has been the case most of the 240 years of our country. It is in sharp contrast with what we saw in the last 8 years. But there are still vestiges of this hostility ingrained in government. This last administration was very intentional about burrowing in and turning and weaponizing. And I say that intentionally. They weaponized our own government against people of faith. And so we have to disarm them. We have to make sure that those are dismantled and removed so that they cannot be used against the American people. And one of the things that we have done today, launching at the Family Research Council a online hotline on the web where people can go to report violations of religious freedom, whether you be a federal employee, member of the military, whether you be a federal contractor, or just a citizen that is interfacing with government. If you believe that your religious freedom has been violated, and now we have a clear set of principles that have been articulated by this administration to hold all of these agencies accountable to. And so that, folks, go to TonyPerkins.com. I think we've got a link up there to it, and share that, because we got to do our part. The president is following through on his commitments. Now we have to help in as I said, dismantling this weaponized religious hostility that has been erected in the last 8 years.
Yeah. Apparently, four groups have already said they're going to file lawsuits over this administration, which is no surprise. Tony, we're out of time. Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council, thank you so much. Wealth of information. Thank you for the service you're giving to the Family Research Council.
Well, thanks for filling in for me, Russ. You're doing a great job.
All right. You have a great weekend. That's Tony Perkins. Folks, I admire that man. He is in the gap. He is in the foxhole and representing you on so many different issues. And go to FRC.org. You can learn so much about what's going on. You'll get the tools you need to fight the fight. Well, coming up next, will President Trump nix the Iran nuclear deal? It appears he's moving in that direction. When we return, we'll talk with Clifford May, founder and president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. We need you in Washington, D.C. That's right. America is built on the courageous spirit of its people, and it is our duty to preserve the great nation by sustaining religious liberty, defending the unborn, and protecting the family. Take a stand for faith, family, and freedom at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Hear from invited and confirmed speakers like President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Loesch, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alveda King, Kevin Sorbo, Bill Robertson, and many more. This is the place to network and meet up with people and organizations that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues that will shape the future of our country. Join us at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
What storm, Mr. President? We're all asking that question. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council, based in Washington, D.C. And I say powered because the Family Research Council does so much that many of you know about and maybe you don't know about, like hosting this radio program, providing policy consultation to members of Congress, to equipping pastors, leaders, Christian leaders. So much. You can learn more about it at frc.org or tonyperkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at tperkins, at tperkins. My Twitter handle is at RussJonesSpeaks. Well, there are reports that President Trump is expected to withdraw his endorsement of the nuclear deal with Iran next week, paving the way for potentially reopening sanctions. With us now is Clifford May, founder and president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, a nonpartisan policy institute focusing on national security, created immediately following the 9/11 attacks on the United States. Cliff, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you.
Well, we're all talking about the calm before the storm. You know, I lived in Kansas for two decades, and I know what the calm before the storm looks like. It's the sky turns this eerie yellow-green, and it's really still, and then the tornado comes down I-35 in the middle of Kansas. So a bit of an analogy there, but any speculation on what that means?
It's very hard to say. Keep in mind, Donald Trump comes from New York, where there's no calm before the storm. It just starts to rain from somewhere between the buildings. He never saw any of what you're talking about. Look, I don't know. It sounds like he's got something up his sleeve or expects something either to do with Iran or to do with North Korea. I don't really know what it is he's referring to. He does like to keep us on tenterhooks.
He's just kind of a New York street fighter. That's just like, that's how he rolls.
Yeah.
People scratch their head and try to read between the lines. And I think a lot of times with President Trump, it is what it is. And he told us he was going to play his cards close to the vest, didn't he? That why would you tell your enemies what you're going to do? But yet the media just goes nuts on that.
Well, that's true.
And it's even possible he just expects that that there'll be a storm coming from Iran, because they're obviously not happy about what's coming. One, that he's not going to recertify President Obama's Iran deal. And two, we're getting some reports that he is going to designate the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization. And that'll stir things up quite a bit, because the IRGC, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, among other things, controls a significant percentage of industry and business in Iran. Makes it much harder for Europeans and others to do business with Iran, because they risk doing business with a terrorist organization. But the IRGC is that.
Yesterday, President Trump said Iran cannot be allowed to obtain nuclear weapons. Let's listen.
We must not allow Iran to obtain nuclear weapons. The Iranian regime supports terrorism and exports violence, bloodshed, and chaos across the Middle East. That is why we must put an end to Iran's continued aggression and nuclear ambitions. They have not lived up to the spirit of their agreement.
You know, Cliff, Iran has conducted 18 missile tests since the nuclear deal. And he's said a few times they've just not lived up to their end of the bargain, right?
Yeah. And there's a couple of things going on here. One is the missile tests are not part of the Iran deal specifically, but they are prohibited, although not as prohibited as they once were, under under a Security Council resolution. The most important thing just to recognize, without getting all technical about it, is that an intercontinental ballistic missile is meant to do one thing. It's not meant to take monkeys and put them in outer space. It's meant to carry a nuclear weapon and deliver it to a target anywhere in the world. There's no reason for the Iranians to be developing intercontinental ballistic missiles unless they expect that they're going to have nuclear weapons to fit onto the tops of those. Now, are they also developing nuclear weapons? Well, we don't actually know, for a couple of reasons. One is they say, okay, the inspectors can look around, but not at our military facilities. And of course, why would you ever suspect that a military facility would be someplace you'd develop nuclear weapons? What a crazy idea, right? No, of course not. That's got to be the suspicion. Now, then the defenders of the deal will say, well, if the Trump administration has evidence this is going on at military facilities, then they can request inspections, and over time they can get them. In other words, over time after it's cleaned out. But that's like my saying to you, I've got automatic weapons in my house. You just can't go into my bedroom. Well, you're not going to find them.
You know, Cliff, apparently business leaders who gathered for an Iran-Europe forum in Switzerland this week said they were prepared to do everything possible to salvage the deal in the event of a U.S. withdrawal. What does a U.S. withdrawal mean to the deal?
Well, first of all, that's a good thing, not a bad thing, because not certifying the deal does not mean the U.S. withdraws from the deal. Mm-hmm. It just means Trump is saying, I can't go in front of Congress and say this deal is in the vital interest of the United States. I just don't think it is, and it's not. I whether or not there are material breaches, the Iranians are not really abiding by the deal the way I would like to see it. In other words, they're not letting us, for example, go do the kinds of inspections that we were promised anytime, anywhere. We don't have that. And I'm also upset about the so-called sunset provisions, which means that if the Iranians are smart on this, actually they will abide by the deal, because this deal allows them to come into the nuclear club in about a decade's time, even if they remain what they are now, the leading sponsor of terrorism in the world. That's according to the U.S. State Department, even under President Obama. And they are imperialists. They have taken over Lebanon through Hezbollah. They are working very hard to take over Iraq. Some people think they've already succeeded. And they have their troops, as well as other Shia militia and Hezbollah, fighting to take over Syria. This is an imperialist state in the Middle East. And the last thing we want to do is be continuing to help them, not least by immunizing their economy through hundreds of billions of dollars that they're using for these purposes.
Well,
so
Cliff,
for all those reasons,
yeah.
this is not a great agreement.
Well, Cliff May, founder and president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, thank you for being on Washington Watch. We're out of time. Thank you so much for your insights. Well, coming up next, the Values Voter Summit is just 1 week away. We'll talk with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, former deputy assistant to President Trump,
one of the summit's featured speakers. We'll talk with him after the break. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Well, it's half past the hour. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Well, 1 week from today, beginning next Friday, a powerful lineup of leading conservative lawmakers and newsmakers will grace the platform at the 12th Annual Values Voter Summit, the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. Folks, it's the premier conservative gathering in the country. You've got time. 1 week from today, go to the Family Research Council website, frc.org. It's just one of those events you don't want to miss because you get equipped with so much good information. You get to hear from people that really know what's going on, like Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He's a former deputy assistant to President Trump and now chief strategist for the Make America Great Again Coalition. He's a New York Times bestselling author. Welcome back to Washington Watch, Dr. Gorka.
Thank you, Ross. Great to be back.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in at the Values Voter Summit next week. And I think folks really look to you. They know this isn't your first rodeo, so to speak. What's it like, life outside of the administration?
It's very exciting. It's very liberating. There are lots of things one can do as a private citizen that you can't do as a government employee. That's why I joined the Make America Great Again Coalition. Check us out at MAGAcoalition.com. And the most important thing is that there's so much more we can do to support the president from the outside of the White House. And that's exactly what people like myself and Steve Bannon are doing in this very momentous next few months as we look at several special elections and senatorial races. 2018 is going to be a pivotal year for the MAGA agenda.
Well, and I was going to ask you, what does the 2018 midterm elections look like? Well, it's already really here, isn't it?
Well, I think you have to take Alabama as a bellwether. That's one of the reasons I went down with my super PAC to Alabama to a campaign for Judge Roy Moore. And basically 2018 is going to be about sending the message of November the 8th all across the United States in those elections to make sure that we support and elect individuals who are going to support the president's agenda and help him drain the swamp here in D.C.
And he really did seem to rattle the establishment. And I think that's what we see, and not just in Washington, D.C., but the media establishment. It's a new day, isn't it?
I think this is the most important thing to understand about last year's presidential election. The president was only accidentally the Republican candidate. He was, in truth, the rank outsider. Remember, when he came down those escalators in Trump Tower, right at the beginning when he announced his campaign, nobody, or very few people, a handful of people, took him seriously. In the months that followed, he proceeded to wipe the floor with 16 establishment GOP candidates, and then in November proceeded to defeat a woman who had spent officially $700 million to acquire the position she thought was owed to her. Donald Trump's victory in the presidential election was a political revolution, and that revolution must and will continue.
And speaking of a revolution, do you see on the left, it sometimes feels like underneath the surface, there's this rumbling of folks that may want to see like a real revolution, a revolution of ideas. Every time you turn on the TV, you see the left out protesting violently, and Antifa and President Trump represents a revolution of ideas and of policies, but it almost feels like a more violent ideology on the other side. Do you see that?
Yeah, it's not almost. It is. So the events of Charlottesville are a tragedy, but there's only one political side in this debate whose supporters, whose protesters come to their rallies, come to their events with baseball bats, with urine bombs, with masks on their faces, and that's the left. The left has normalized violence. And it's not an accident at all, that a Bernie Sanders volunteer tried to assassinate Congressman Scalise and all the other Republican congressmen who are at that baseball diamond just a few miles away from where I am today. The left has normalized violence in their discourse, and that is a very dangerous thing for our republic.
And today we had Tony Perkins on earlier. That policy, revolution of policy ideas is happening. The HHS contraceptive mandate rolling back, and then the Department of Justice, the guidance that's given on that, on religious liberty. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's amazing. I know some of the key individuals at HHS. They're doing some incredible work. They're turning after 8 years of division, after 8 years of twisted social engineering policy being foisted upon us, they're pushing back, and it's great news.
Well, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, thank you so much. The Make America Great Again Coalition, we'll see you next week. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be on Washington Watch. Well, coming up next, legendary game show host. You know him. You've seen him. Especially if you're part of that older generation. Chuck Woolery. We're going to talk with him because Hollywood is at it again. Gun control, Las Vegas. Yep, predictable. But we're going to talk with one of the good guys of Hollywood, Chuck Woolery, former game show host and now conservative commentator. You're going to hear him when we return after the break. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Chuck, the jackpot today is $14,000. Welcome to my neck of the woods. Let's play lingo.
Building on the letter C in telescope, six letters in the word, and the clue is... Some people like to keep a hand in it. Ready? Go. Terry?
Pocket.
You've got it. It's pocket, yep.
And just look at this great 1976 station wagon. Plus this colorful gourmet kitchen, including... A gourmet trip for two to New Orleans. These are just some of the many exciting prizes available. Total retail value of all these prizes, more than $30,000. And are yours to buy today on Wheel of Fortune. And now, here's your host, Chuck Woolery.
That's me. Thank you, Charlie. Oh, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wheel of Fortune. I'd like to introduce Susan Chappell.
Does that bring back good memories? It does for me. You know, I'm older, a little older, and I remember watching the game shows and Chuck Woolery, and he was just one of the good guys, and still continues to be one of the good guys. Legendary game show host of Wheel of Fortune, Love Connection, Scrabble, Lingo, The Dating Game. And now he's a conservative commentator and host of Blunt Force Truth. We're trying to get him on the line. Maybe he's spinning that wheel of fortune. But Chuck was going to come on and talk about Hollywood and just how they just can't help themselves of weighing into issues. And it's 99% of the time, it's from a leftist point of view. It's extreme. And people like Sheryl Crow and Emmy Rossum, Josh Nixon, Sean Kent, they've all been weighing in. And, of course, calling on Congress to do more about gun control. And it really is the height of hypocrisy, if you think about it. How violent are movies these days and TV shows? The violence is just horrific, but yet they continue to call on gun control. And it just seems very hypocritical to me and to so many. And one of the things that we already know is that the NRA has warned that gun control measures pushed by Hollywood and the left would not have prevented the Las Vegas attack or the Boston bombing or other mass casualty events. We know that. We've seen it up close. And there are few laws that would stop someone from doing that sort of thing. Well, let's talk about that. Let's go to the phone lines. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Talk about this a little bit. Do you put limits on what you let your kids watch? Do you filter what they're able to do on the internet? Do you have certain shows that they're not allowed to watch? I remember my mom, she wouldn't let me go see the movie Jaws when it first came out. And it was about, you know, the violence of a shark. And she just wouldn't let me go see it. And I didn't see that till much later in life. And it was traumatic. But give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Do you think it's hypocritical for Hollywood to speak out so strongly about gun control and other issues when their movies don't reflect the things that they're wanting others to change in their own lives? 866-372-7234. Let's go to Matthew in Oklahoma.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Hey, Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate what you're doing. And, man, I just want to make a comment real quick. One, as a veteran, I think the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun. And then I teach my kids, you know, quite honestly, I teach them, you know, kind of martial arts and that kind of stuff. But they all know not to touch my guns, you know.
Yeah.
And I, from the beginning, even from my baby, the youngest one, knows not to touch anything that looks like a gun. And I think that's really what it comes down to. I think you're not going to fix the problem with more laws. You just have to, you know, treat that thing with common sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hunt, and that's also self-defense at my home if I need it. And thank the Lord I've never had to use it on anybody. But, you know, I'm bound and determined to protect my babies and my wife. As far as what we watch, a lot of times we stick to stuff like Andy Griffith and Hogan's Heroes. And, you know, there's some other more modern movies, but I don't want them to watch a whole lot of things. So they'll give them the wrong idea.
Well, Matthew in Oklahoma, thanks so much for calling Washington Watch. Appreciate your perspective, and I know you're not alone. Well, with us now is legendary game show host and host of Blunt Force Truth, Chuck Woolery. Chuck, thank you so much for taking time to join us. I believe this is the first time you've been on Washington Watch.
Well, I believe it is too, Russ. Nice to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we've been talking about Hollywood, and we see you quite a bit on Fox News as a contributor, and you're so articulate on these issues. I couldn't think of anyone better to help us kind of sort this out.
Well, how nice about... of you to say that. Hopefully I can be articulate today.
Well, it is Friday.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, you were in Hollywood. What was it like to be a believer and to be a conservative, to be in Tinseltown?
Well, you know, it's just like conservatives in Washington. You're very quiet. You're under the radar. Conservatives who work for liberal groups under the radar. You don't say anything. You just don't get into it with anybody, because if you do and you're all of a sudden characterized as being a conservative, even being a Christian to a certain point, you're immediately ostracized. Now, you don't know that at the time, but when the job comes up, they just go, "Nah, let's go to somebody else." It's very subtle, but it's very real, and they will blackball you.
Yeah,
so I didn't say much of anything till I left there.
I would imagine you felt more freer to say things that were really on your mind.
Well, I've always said that when I was in Hollywood, I was like a brown pair of shoes, and Hollywood was like a tuxedo. We just didn't really match, you know, together too well. But I was at, you know, I made a lot of friends there. I had a wonderful career there. I haven't got anything bad to say about it, because nothing bad really happened. But the environment is what it is, and everybody can see it for what it is. I mean, all this stuff about Harvey Weinstein coming out this week, that's the environment of Hollywood, and it's always been. It's been that way since it was conceived. So everyone acts surprised today that this could happen. It's the same old Hollywood. It's, you know, it's what it is.
Right.
It's a fresh pot.
Isn't it rather ironic that Hollywood attacks the Second Amendment while also producing such horrific, violent movies and TV programs?
Well, you know, that's the left for you. I mean, Hollywood, oddly enough, has not always been left. In the 50s and the 40s and the 30s, it was pretty much right. And then in the 60s, it changed and started to go left. But, you know, the hypocrisy of the left is palatable, isn't it? I mean, it's just it's just how it is. It's very frustrating for people on the right who are conservative. But then again, so are Republicans. Republicans who are just Republicans and not conservative are very frustrating to us, too.
Well, we are
kind of the stepchild of everybody.
That's right. That's right. Well, Chuck, tell us what led to some of your more recent projects like Blunt Force Truth. I watched your podcast. Very well done. What led to all that?
Well, Mark Young, who's my partner in Detroit, kind of started all of this with me, asked me if I was interested in doing it years ago. And we were doing YouTube videos. And my initial response was, no, I don't want to do this because it will ruin any career that I have. Because the minute you step out politically, you really do start to separate the wheat from the chaff. People who liked you before all of a sudden don't like you anymore. And so it ruins your positioning as far as celebrity is concerned. And I understood that. So when I finally decided to do it, I said, okay, I think that I'm at a point in my life where it's time for me to sacrifice all of that and go ahead and do what I think is right for the country. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I decided about 10 years ago to make that step in that direction. And so I did, and we've paid the price for it. There are a lot of jobs that I don't get, a lot of things that, you know, a lot of people who I really like who don't like me anymore because I'm a conservative. But, you know, that's just the way it goes.
And, you know, I totally understand that. I'm a 30-year media veteran. I went to University of Missouri before they had their meltdown and worked at NBC. I'm a conservative. I'm a believer. And there's a point in my career where I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I was the token conservative in the shop. And then I made this
token. At least most people won't even allow that.
That's very true. And then, you know, the last couple of decades absolutely have worked in other environments on purpose. And like for the Family Research Council, there are very few places a conservative can hone their craft in this industry. And when you find them, you kind of stick together. And I see that's what you're doing. And
I tell you what, the problem with conservatism, and I really think it's a real problem that we need to address as conservatives. Most people have no idea what a conservative is because most Republicans run as conservatives when, in fact, they really aren't. And so a bad impression is put forward as to if you're a Republican, you're a conservative, which is absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm.
Most Republicans, I'll give you an example, when Ronald Reagan ran, most Republicans did not want him to win the presidency any more than they wanted Trump to win because they didn't like conservatives, even though they didn't know Trump would be as, and I didn't either, he would be as conservative as he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of maligned by your own party, and it's very difficult. So our messaging really needs to be a little more accurate and a little more to the point. We really need to tell people what conservatism is. And it's really wrapped up in the Constitution, and then explain what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't really understand that a conservative in politics is straight down the middle. It is not on the far right. It's not on the far left. It is politics in the middle, right where the founders wanted it to be. And so I think that's very confusing to most people who just hear the word conservative. Like the word progressive. I mean, the word progressive is turned on its ear. Most people don't realize that progressives have been around since the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And Woodrow Wilson, well, give you an example, the progressive tax code. That's how far back we go with progressives, which are socialists in our government.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't realize that. So it's, you know, a lot of it's just understanding the terminology and the history of it. And once you get that in perspective, you can kind of make your decision as to what you want to be and what you think is right.
And I remember those Reagan years well. I actually played the tuba. Can you believe this? And when he was at the Kansas City Republican Convention, I played the tuba
I've ever mentioned that to anybody. It's like playing the accordion.
I played the tuba in his California Here We Come pep band. And you know, it was a proud moment. That's when I got involved in politics.
See, now everybody's going to think conservatives like the tuba.
Playing a polka. Well, Chuck, would you mind if we took a few callers? Would you have fun with me and do that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, let's go to Sarah, North Carolina. Sarah, you say it's important to filter our children's entertainment consumption. Say hello to Chuck Woolery.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you? May I say I absolutely
love your program, and it has built so much faith and confidence in myself and my family.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to Chuck.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sarah.
What's your question?
Well, actually, I don't particularly have a question, but I certainly have learned a lot this afternoon, as always. But I was just going to make a quick comment on the importance of filtering what your children watch and the environment that they are put in. And as a teacher and a coach, I had a son at one point that was about 13 or 14, and we were very much having, a godly family pertaining to what he watched. I wouldn't even say strict, but long story short, he attended a movie with one of his friends, and again, was about in the seventh grade, and actually snuck out of the movie to call us and say that his friend's father and he had taken him to a rated R movie, and was devastated, but we were so proud of him, and those are the things that you hope to instill in your children, and I'm very thankful.
Absolutely. That's a good kid. It really is. When they can, and it shows good parenting too, when they can recognize that they're in an environment that's inappropriate and uncomfortable for them. So you should be very proud of that.
I am, and very proud that he's 34 now, and I have a beautiful grandson that's two that I waited 34 years to get. So I'm praying that he will keep God in the middle of our life and our family and share the gospel with all those he comes in touch with.
I'm sure he will.
Well, Sarah, North Carolina, thank you so very much. Let's go to Joe in Oklahoma. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch. Say hello to Chuck Woolery.
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? What's up?
Hey, what's a 10-letter word describing Hollywood?
This better be clean. This better be clean, Joe.
It's yes. It's yes. It's yes to everything. No matter what it is, the word is yes.
It's a hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the word.
That's a three-letter word. That's a three-syllable word.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the hypocrisy, it didn't take long for Hollywood to make films about 13 Hours or Waco, things like that. I bet in 3 to 6 months they're going to have a film about this Las Vegas shooting, and they're going to be trying to make money off of it while also actively trying to push for gun control. That's pretty loud on the hypocrisy. I mean, it's just like...
Well, the hypocrisy of the left is extremely difficult to live with, and I mentioned before that it was frustrating because it is. They do one thing and they say another, and then they expect you to follow what they say instead of what they do. And
we got 1 minute, Chuck.
Everybody likes to be entertained. Everybody likes a good movie. I've seen lots of good movies that I really like, and lots of good movies have had violence in them, which I've liked as well. But you have to pick and choose what you watch and be careful about it. Hollywood is in the business to do one thing, and that's to make money. And yet, at the same time, they will literally sacrifice. Well, they'll do it in television. They'll do it in movies. Right. They will sacrifice to make a liberal point.
Chuck, we're out of time. Chuck Woolery, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch, legendary game show host and host of Blunt Force Truth. Chuck, thank you so much. We'll have to do this again. You've been listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Have a blessed weekend.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.